Hello, everyone. Eunice, welcome to the Commerce Talks GCC edition. For anyone that don't know you, you represent one of the most successful Riyadh-based grocery chains, Al Jazeera Market. So can you introduce yourself and give us more a bit about the business? Just a quick introduction for those that don't know Al Jazeera Market.
Thank you so much, Lina. Thank you so much, Alex. It's always a pleasure talking to you. And thank you for having me on your podcast today. I am the Chief Operating Officer in Al Jazeera Markets. Al Jazeera Market has been in the retail business in Riyadh for the past 45 years. It's a very old chain. However, there was no expansion plans in the past. We took a decision in 2021 that we are going to start our expansion. We started with one store, and now we are 7 stores in almost 4 years, and we are looking for more expansion now. We are in the middle of Riyadh, in a very vital area of Riyadh, which is called Olaya, and it's very well known. It used to be the downtown of Riyadh. However, with the great expansion that Riyadh is showing at the moment, going north, it's not the downtown anymore. However, it's still a very well-populated area, and Al Jazeera is one of the main landmarks in this area, in Olaya. And this is, in brief, the short story of Al Jazeera.
Thank you. So can you tell us more about, like, in terms of online versus offline, as our mainly our listeners are from, let's say, omni-channel world and mainly based all over the Western world. So for everyone to imagine, you know, like, how do you operate? And as you mentioned, in Riyadh, do you sell online? Do you have your own channel? Do you sell through other third party, like marketplaces, quick commerce players?
Since I joined Al Jazeera in 21, I took the decision to have a full digital transformation, which I believe will reflect on all aspects of the business. So we had to focus on, you know, the implementation of omni-channel strategy to seamlessly integrating the online and the offline channels. We wanted to make sure that we provide a unified customer experience. And, you know, when we do that, we have to include managing logistics, inventory, customer service across various platforms. This is number one. Number two, we had to use data analytics. So the usage of big data and analytics, which has become crucial, we leveraged the data to, how do you call it, to optimize operations, forecast demand, manage supply chain. And the main important reason was to personalize the customer experience. The third issue which we worked on was to increase the customer awareness. So we felt we had a sustainability and ethical practice we had to implement. So I was responsible for incorporating sustainable and ethical practices within the operation. And this included ensuring responsible sourcing, reducing waste, implementing some eco-friendly processes. So all that helped at the end, I mean, by making sure we reach to the final point which I was aiming for, which is a customer-centric operation. The main responsibility was to make sure that the customer experience is a priority, which is like for everybody else who is in the business. So ensuring that every touch point from supply chain to post-purchasing service reflects a customer-first approach, as we say it. So this was important to enhance customer loyalty and compete in the retail business, which is very competitive at the moment.
Can you, for the ones that are listening here from the European mainland, can you give a bit more background about Al Jazeera Market? Because you just said you started the expansion more recently, right? So it was like one big hypermarket a couple of years ago. Yeah. And then within the last 2 minutes, I have heard all the main keywords you would usually listen about on e-commerce stages, right? So, and
yes,
how did this work? Because I believe that there was like a Riyadh hypermarket for,
yes,
I don't know how many years, moving into a more customer journey focused, UX focused experience. That's not an easy task. So where did it come from?
Yeah. Very good question. First of all, I've been in the retail business since almost 22 years. I started my journey with the Spinis in Lebanon. Then I moved to Tamimi Markets in Riyadh in 2003 up to 2009. And then I moved to Panda which is part of Savola Company, up to 2018. Then I moved to Watania Agriculture, which is part of Sulaiman al-Rashi Companies. Then I moved to Al Jazeera. So I believe the whole experience in 20, 21 years, I had to invest it in this family business. So yes, they were in Riyadh for 45 years, but they had only one hypermarket at the beginning. In 2017, they acquired a small store, which is a supermarket, and that was it up to 2021. So during the pandemic, we had to think of how we are going to get out of the pandemic successfully and to compete with the market, which everybody was looking for an online business. And same like almost everybody else, the journey started from there. We had to find solutions. So we worked on parallel lines. The first one is opening new stores, and the second line was working on the online business. In 2021, we acquired a platform from Jordan, which is called Khodarji in Jordan, and we changed the name in Al Jazeera to Khodar and Us, which, of course, made a big difference in the online business during the pandemic. So we kept the business, and we started working along as well with a third party, which was a third party, same like Nana. I would like to say Nana because they were very strong at that phase. And we kept the partnership with them. And then the journey continued with the expansion and with working on the implementation of the omnichannel. So everything, yes, started all together at one point to expand, to make sure we have the online business running smoothly, as well as the brick and mortar business running smoothly. So that's how it started.
And how important is the online business? Because if you're like looking at the most of the European markets, the online share for grocery retail is like below 5%. And I also would have believed a similar number like for Riyadh, which like traditionally has like a very, very strong brick and mortar
yes.
footprint. So what has changed? So how big is the amount of online orders compared to the overall orders at Al Jazeera?
To be honest, Alex, we are a retailer, and in the supermarket business, when you have your own online platform, we have to keep that service, but we have to be honest with ourselves that we cannot compete with big players. There are third-party big players in the market which are having very huge orders. If I compare my daily orders to their orders, it's not going to show a significant growth. It's very minimum. But I can give you an example, like we are having 100 to 200 order per day, while we work with a third party, like two or three platforms, which are having like 500 orders per day, and one of them reached to 700 order per day. And especially when we talk about salary week, which is end of the month, and if it comes on a weekend, we can reach up to 950 orders per day on a third party. But within our online platform, the maximum we can reach is a 300. And like I said, for us as a retailer, we have to calculate all the costs and the expenses which come along that. So we are not dedicated only for the online. We are dedicated for the online and the offline, while the third party is dedicated for the offline business only.
So Yunus, a very interesting answer. Can you maybe elaborate more about the categories? You know, so as you said, it's a hypermarket. So are you leading more like on the fresh? Is there something unique about Al Jazeera supermarkets in terms of like electronics, you know, like a bit of category split? And does that mean that you put all those categories like online?
Very good question. Now, in Al Jazeera, we have three formats. We have the hypermarket, we have the supermarket, and the express or the convenience store. So in the hypermarket, the number of SKUs definitely is higher than the super and the express stores. In all the stores, we have noticed that, of course, the fresh departments are the number one category leading the whole orders in the online and on the offline. So if you compare, for example, on the fruits and vegetables, you will see that it is the number one category that is leading the whole online and offline business. In the hypermarkets, yes, we have all the categories, but in the supermarkets, we have only fresh food and non-food. We don't have electronics, we don't have fashion, we don't have mobile accessories. And of course, this is based on the size of the store, the customer demand, the populated area which we are, and the target audience which we are targeting. In the convenience store, definitely the range and the category is like 3,000, 4,000 SKU, which is much, much less than the hypermarket. So the hypermarket we're talking about in Al Jazeera, like 40 to 50,000 SKU in the hypermarket. Definitely it's a monthly shopping experience, let's say for the customer on the offline. But on the online, through our third party partners, we are having huge orders from within the store.
And let me just ask you, just for my understanding. So when people are ordering Al Jazeera, they know you from the brick and mortar footprint, right? So yes. It's not that you're getting orders from Jeddah, where nobody has ever seen a hypermarket yet. I don't know if you are in Jeddah, but like just as an example.
No, we are based in Riyadh only.
Mm.
We don't have any branches in other regions. So in Riyadh, Al Jazeera is well known. And we don't have any branches in other regions. This is why we don't do our social media and campaigns in other regions. We focus only on Riyadh. And yes, when the orders that come through our partners online, they know that it's coming from Al Jazeera because some of them you are able to choose to go to that specific store, marketplace, and to choose from that marketplace if it's Al Jazeera or any other retailer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that I get. But when you're now expanding, does it make sense for you to expand outside of Riyadh, or would it be like starting a new business in Jeddah?
If you want to talk about the expansion, if you see what has been done through or over the past 5 years since the Vision 2030 started, the vision aimed to expand Riyadh and to increase the population from 8 million to 15 million in Riyadh only. So we feel like there's still opportunity and a big chunk in Riyadh that we can take over. Why would we go to any other region while we know that in Riyadh we are able to expand and grow bigger? The population is getting bigger. Riyadh season is here. The tourism sector is growing. So everything is happening. The big, big games are happening in Riyadh. So this is why we are not planning to expand outside at the moment.
Okay. This I understand, and focus is definitely appreciated. But when you are like looking at like expansion potential in Riyadh, is there kind of a bottleneck in finding enough space actually to expand the stores, or finding enough talent to help pick stuff in the warehouse? So what is like the bottleneck for a business like yours when it comes to growth?
Well, I can tell you the number one challenge which we are facing at the moment is the increase in the prices of rental of locations. So if we want to, for example, rent a shop, let's say, for example, 1,500 square meter. Previously, we used to have the rental for 500, 600 riyals per square meter. At the moment, you cannot find below 900, 1,000. So this is affecting our bottom line. This is why as well we are increasing our partnership with the online business, online partners, so we can put our range on their platforms as well to move our products. So yes, it is a challenge, an expansion, but the opportunity is still there. So our real estate team, the development team are working on a daily basis to find the new locations, and this is our plan.
So Yunus, a bit more about the customer. So a lot of, let's say, brands nowadays are looking from outside, you know, and obviously Saudi is booming, Riyadh is the city to go to. And myself and Alex get a lot of, let's say, brands ask, you know, how do I enter the market? How is the customer acquisition there? And you being in doing really well in the city for the last 45 years. So can you tell us more about the customer acquisition? Do you guys just rely on the very popular name, or you're investing in like social media, emails? Like, what is the go-to-market in terms of getting the customers?
Usually we work with marketing agencies at the moment. We have signed a couple of contracts with marketing agencies that are doing that job for us. This is number one. Number two, let's say the relationship with the suppliers is very, very important and very critical. So if you want to open a location and your relationship with the supplier is not as it should be, then either you have to agree the deliveries will be to the warehouse or the deliveries will be direct deliveries. So this is another challenge. logistics. Riyadh is expanding hugely. So now in order to move from middle of Riyadh to, let's say, north of Riyadh, it's going to take you like one and a half hour. While if you go back a couple of years back, it used to take you like 15 to 20 minutes. So the population is getting bigger. Riyadh is getting bigger. Traffic is getting more and more every day. So that's a big, huge challenge as well. Logistically, transporting from the warehouse to the stores is one of our main challenges as well. So this is why we are working with the 3PL to make sure we have availability in the stores.
But can I add on this? Because I visited Riyadh like 2 years ago, and last year, and obviously just in this 1 year alone, I sensed a very, very intense increase in traffic jams in Riyadh.
Yes.
So, and when I'm seeing this, and when like transportation is so hard, wouldn't it make sense to only focus on warehouses with a smart deliveries fleet instead of like building new stores where you need parking space, which is also very expensive, and everybody has a car, obviously, because nobody can walk or drive a bike in this kind of temperatures. But wouldn't it be smarter to just leverage the big name, building warehouses that are helping your delivery teams to deliver items? Because the new people moving to Riyadh, often very young people, are usually the generation that is used to e-commerce user experiences.
Yes, that's a good question, Alex. Now, there are 2 points here. The first point is that we must have stores all over. We need to expand. If we don't do it, our competition will do it. So this is number one. Number two, there's a new regulation which will be rolled out next month, and that is regarding the using the launching of the metro. The subway station is going to be launched this month. The buses are going to have start their trips this month. And there's a new regulation that regarding the parking areas in Riyadh. So they started in the middle of the Riyadh that the buildings should have numbered cars for the residents. If you are not a resident, then you will get a fine. Parking in front of the main roads or even the side roads, service roads, is not allowed anymore, or you will get a fine. You have to pay through a parking meter. This is all going to start this month. So if this starts, people are going to stop using their own cars. Or this is what we are counting on, to reduce the number of traffic in Riyadh and making sure that people, employees, start using the public transportation. And this is going to help us. So this is one part of... Sorry.
Is it so far free to park in Riyadh? So I know
so far
in every
free,
street
yes.
there... Ah, okay.
Yes,
I didn't
free.
Know that. Okay.
So far it's free, yes. This is why you can see that a family of three members having three cars and, you know, parking probably in the same place, same location. So this is going to change. Now, there's a new regulation. I think, if I'm not mistaken, one apartment should have two parkings only. And you should have a sticker on your car announcing that you are a resident in this location. If you are moving to your work and there's no parking, a basement parking or side, then you have to pay through the parking meter. So this is all we see that it's going to be positively affecting the traffic in Riyadh, and it's going to make it much easier. This is one part. The second part, yes, warehouses are very important, but like I mentioned before, the prices of the property and the construction has gone higher. So it's a big challenge. As we said, Riyadh is expanding north, and the price of the property in the north has doubled year over year. So building new warehouses or renting new warehouses, it is a good idea. It is a very good idea, but it is costly. Lots of calculation has to be done to take such a decision.
Yeah, very interesting. So then it leads nicely to the next question is that, so we cannot afford to lose customers. And with the Riyadh expanding, new quick commerce players coming like every single month, you know, you have a new player in the market,
absolutely,
like digital player.
Yes.
How do you maintain loyalty? How do you like remain competitive? Because that will definitely, as the city goes through such a huge transformation, it will get harder and harder, no? Like maybe you guys have some unique selling points that will keep you competitive.
Look, I can give you some of our success stories, which we have done over the couple of years. For example, in Al Jazeera, in the World Cup, the last World Cup last year, we had to close the parking of the hypermarket, and we had to put a huge screen, bring chairs, And we opened it free for all our customers to come watch the football teams competing at the World Cup. So that was one of the initiatives. And that made a huge echo in the market because we are the only retailers who did it. For example, on the National Day, we had to bring horses to our stores, live horses, so families can come in, have photos, ride the horses. So we have to think outside of the box and do something which is not being done in any other retailer. And I believe these initiatives, okay, had a great impact on our customers, a very positive impact, and this is why they are coming to us. I'll give you another example. For example, last month, we had a huge blood donation campaign in our stores, free of charge. Donation. And we had another initiative by testing blood pressure, CBC, CBS for customers, all free of charge. So this kind of initiative for customers are making it a little bit different from others. And this is what we want to be. We want to be different from others. Okay, everybody can sell tomato and potato in a cheaper price. But that's not enough. You have to keep the customer coming back to you. On the online business, yes, you have to do competitions. You have to do promotions, giveaways, vouchers. I do agree with that. But you have to keep in mind that your brand is seen on the road. When people pass by on the road with their car, with the transportation, they have to see a sign, Al Jazeera is there. So this is why we are doing such initiatives inside the stores.
So it's very interesting, you know, because a lot of the Western brands are just starting, you know, like what's called, like, let's say, experience in store. And you guys have been doing it without, let's say, putting a proper PR name of it, that you're very experimental, like bringing horses to the store. I am sure, yeah. You know, not many retailers around the world can say that. Okay. Yeah. So can you tell us more, like, you know, so like that loyalty, so are you currently tracking, like, what is the average, I don't know, like number of orders a customer makes in a year, or like, how is your data trackability on this? Do you track anything, or it's all like every single day, the new order is a new, like, new transaction is a new customer type of thing? Or you can say that we have like loyal customers and on average they shop, I don't know, 5 times a month, 1 time a month, and so on and so forth.
No, of course, it is both. It is both. We leverage numbers, we leverage the data, we make sure we have the proper data in place. And if we say it's two sides of the story. First one, you have to make sure your customers are coming back. So we have to make sure we have exceptional customer service. This is number one. Number two, we have to have a personalized experience. And we use that and analytics to understand the customer preference. I mean, we offer personalized recommendations, promotions, services that make each customer feel that he's valued, you know, and he's understood. So the only way to do it is to go back to the loyalty program to make sure we have the proper data leveraged. We have to implement what we call it a reward, repeat customer points, discounts, exclusive offers. All that are in place. And I believe for the customer, Lina, is something very important, which is the fresh department, either online or offline. Once you bring to the customer and ensure high quality products and consistency in that, in those products, the customer will come back to you. That's for sure, because every day you have to cook, every day you have to eat fresh. So if you make sure that's in place, either online or offline, customer will come back. Last point, which is regarding the data and the AI and making sure how we capture the data. One of the initiatives which we started recently is the queuing, AI queuing system on the checkout, which is we have to monitor how much does the customer spend on every point of sale. Every cashier, how many customer per hour does he scan? How much time does the waiting customer spend? If it is 2 customer or 3 customer waiting in line, how much time do they spend? So we take all that data and we do full training for our employees, because we have to make sure, and we show them live videos that, look, this customer or those 2 customers spend more time with this cashier, but they spend less time with the other cashier. So we also create like a competitive environment between our team so we can have a better customer service.
Nice. And the final question before I hand it over to Alex for closing thoughts. So we have not just the Western audience, but we also have a lot of listeners from the GCC that know your brand really well. So as you actually worked as Eunice, you worked for a lot of, you know, like different chains in the region. Maybe you can tell us what is unique about Al Jazeera, like customer base? Like, is there anything, are they like deal lovers? Are they like loyal? Are they, what's unique for them? You know, if there is anything unique.
Okay. Like I said, we've been in the market in Riyadh for 45 years. So in Al Jazeera, there are a couple of retailers that started the business in that era, like 40, 35 years ago. They still have that sentimental feeling for our customer. So if you come to Riyadh and you ask about, let's say, for example, Euromarché. Euromarché was one of the first stores, retailers that started in Saudi Arabia. But now, unfortunately, they closed a couple of years back. But it's a landmark. Al Jazeera is considered a landmark for Riyadh residents. And what we have done over the past 4 years is that we renovated our stores. We increased our range. We made sure we have very good promotions, loyal customers. You see it like, it's like a movie. You see like the grandfather is there and the father is there and then the son is there. So you see three generations at the same place coming to Al Jazeera because they heard from their previous generations that Al Jazeera is part of the community in Riyadh. So I think that was one of our main points, that we are having loyal customers and coming even more because the word of mouth spreads, you know. So our customer count has increased by 12% over last year. So that's a very good indicator for us that, and I mean like for like. So that's a good indicator that we're doing the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Alex, any final thoughts, final questions?
Yeah, so I have one last question. In Europe, the supermarkets, especially the grocery markets, moved to non-food products, let's say like 20 years ago. So they added 20% of the assortment, like non-food products that were like changed weekly.
Yeah,
you could buy like frying pans or microwaves or all the stuff that is imported like from China as a traffic, a source of traffic. Is this something that also works like in Riyadh, or are you focusing 100% on fresh grocery?
With the coming online business for over the past 3-4 years, you can see that the customer trend is focusing for the non-food online, but for the food offline. For example, if you want to buy electronics, there are a couple of stores or retailers for electronics, dedicated for electronics, which are well known in the market. But for me as a customer, now I have more option to go online and to see other competitors or offline online business that do not have stores are having the same product with less prices or with promotions. So the food has a big chunk. But the non-food as well has a big chunk on online. I'll give you another example. In Al Jazeera, we are having like 70% to 75% in the offline business for the food and only 20% to 25% for the non-food, mm-hmm. electronics, I mean, and general merchandise. And that was not there before. Previously, we used to have like a 50-50 sales. Now it's food more on the offline business. So this means the customer are driving on the online business for electronics and non-food products, but for the fresh and the food in the offline.
Impressive story. So next time I'm in Riyadh, I definitely want to visit this market and
Absolutely.
Try to understand why the customers are so big fans of the business model. So Eunice, thank you for your time and hope to see you soon in Riyadh.